So, as of the recording of Stunt Granny Audio 355, this is Kevin DeFrango. I still haven't fully watched Raw. It is now running in the background. I saw what many would probably call the big segment of the night, which wrapped things up smartly at 10 o'clock, since they seemed to drastically lose viewers after that. It was John Cena and well, and AJ Styles later on, but my fellow co-host here, Chris Kalamita, he had a bone to pick with the former and maybe the latter. I'm not quite sure on that front.
Oh, nothing with the latter, but yeah, I guess we'll start off with, I guess, I'm just going to throw it out there. What do you feel about it? Do you think that when John Cena goes on his mega patriotic, no rants, that it's, yeah, especially when he talks about the troops and he refers to them as we, as if he's including himself in it, that there's some implied notion that John Cena has served in the military when he, in fact, has not. He only played a Marine in a movie and host a reality show on Fox.
Yeah, he certainly does seem to lean that way. I am one that I guess in either direction it kind of takes a lot to offend me.
Yeah, I don't.
So, especially since I'm not part of the military, I mean, that is certainly one aspect of it that I'm not of that mindset. I mean, I know that my dad served, but it's not like he really talked about it a lot.
It just has always been like that. When he
Well.
goes to, there have been other patriotic characters in wrestling before, and like Hulk Hogan, Hacksaw Jim Duggan,
Right.
Sergeant Slaughter actually did serve in the military, so he can say whatever he wants. But whenever they would go on the patriotic rant, they would always refer to the troops as they, because they never serve themselves. And John Cena does not establish that one. I believe in the past there was a mainstream article that actually referred to John Cena as an ex-Marine. Now, granted, that's mostly on the fault of the publication to not do their research. But I don't
Right.
think WWE and Cena himself have ever completely, not, that he has never served, and that, that there's at least they allow the implication. I think that's the best way to say it.
Right. Yeah, I mean it's not the best look. The WWE definitely I don't know if they play that up or not. I mean, they play up their patriotic ties to the US quite a bit.
In that regard, I do kind of see it's like because everything they do with Cena seems to have to be so, it's a byproduct of the era that they're in, that they just have to be so heavy-handed with everything they touch, with everything they brand, all the words that they use. Everything has to just be so filtered and so heavily branded. So, and in that regard, I mean, I guess I'm not going to question John's the real person's patriotism and his love for the truth. I don't think I want to do that, but
Right.
I will say this. Last night, it did work.
You what?
Half that crowd, what?
Oh, no. You just I just missed one word.
Last night, it did work. It got
Oh.
the crowd, cheering with him. Even after AJ Styles interrupted, still had half the crowd with him, and then after the big swerve ending of the segment, he pretty much had everyone booing AJ Styles and Anderson Gallows for beating down John Cena.
Yeah, That actually is kind of the funny thing. Like, my beef with that segment is almost more the ending than the beginning. You know, I guess Anderson and Gallows showing up was a surprise because they had broken up. And, I mean, you didn't have any reason, like, last week to not believe that they'd broken up.
Right.
So, for them to get back together so quickly, like, I guess that isn't a surprise in some ways either. It's just like, why aren't you, you know, why didn't you drag it out at all? You know, it, I don't know, that just seems like, it's fine, it worked, it only wasted a week of my time. So, I mean, it's not like they wasted oodles of time on it, but it just seems a little odd to me to have them back together already. It's just like, why didn't you just keep them together then? Like, everyone was fine with it that way.
Well, then you wouldn't have had the big See, this is where you lost out on not watching Raw last night and going to your little hockey game. The moment live where you, they pretty much got everybody. I don't think anyone, even in this day and age, I don't think too many people saw it coming that AJ Styles was going to turn, you know, full heel. He's been kind of in between. He's been conflicted, but last night, he went full heel. After he had his, quote unquote, bad week last week, where he lost his title challenge, and then failed to enter Money in the Bank. He snapped and turned full heel and realized that this is the direction he needs to go.
I guess I've got no problem with the direction that they're going. Like, and I guess they'd already kind of established at least something of a heelish side to him anyway, with the Roman Reigns stuff. I don't know if you needed this trick to really nail it down. Maybe you did, I'm just arguing over semantics in some ways.
I think arguing over semantics is the way you got there. I personally like the way they got there because you had no reason to believe that Gallows and Anderson and AJ weren't fixing for a fight and seen it, and it was there to be AJ's backup, and then there was the logical swerve that worked. It didn't. You can go from A to B to C here.
I mean, it works.
AJ had frustration after even if he intended to break ways with Anderson and Gallows, he had a rough week then. He, on his own, he couldn't, he did, he lost to Kevin Owens. Clean in the middle of the ring.
Right.
So he decided he needed them back. So it's again, the whole thing, pretty logical. Fact is, in a WWE with, for the first time in well over 6 months, Roman Reigns and John Cena, both healthy, you can't be any more than the number three babyface, or the number three top face on the roster. And that's bridesmaid Dean Ambrose's place, so. So, you can be I guess Seth Rollins is back to be the number one heel, but I guess you can be the number two heel.
Right. I mean, they always need heels, and even earlier in the show before that happened, I guess I like Anderson and Gallows attacking New Day.
Yeah, that was really good. I also all that's left as a heel team to go after the New Day. And
yeah, so. But it's one of those things where even the WWE has done badly with groups, and if they play things right, I guess, it could really have them win the tag team championships, and if Styles goes over Cena, they have a nice dynamic working for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they can be a very, very strong, you know, heel group. I mean, I certainly see the Styles Cena feud now going, you know, a little while. You know, you got tag titles on Anderson and Gallows for, you know, maybe a couple months. I think you could definitely build something with Enzo and Cass going after the tag team titles at SummerSlam in Brooklyn, you know, in New York. I think that would be a lot there. Meanwhile, as I think Jeremy and I discussed 2 weeks ago, you know, have the New Day, you know, outgrown the tag team championships, and what can you do if you take the tag team, or I don't know, you and I who had that conversation about what you do with the, taking the tag team championship off of them that they've kind of outgrown, and then, or maybe that they're holding back with, you know, being a comedy. I'm not sure. I guess you could go either way with, you know, looking.
You know, they're kind of interesting. They have some bad segments, but you can tell that, you know, they might be a prime example of they're actually letting them sink or swim.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell that...
Go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, you can tell that no one started that. Like, another slogan that I was thinking about when watching at least the part of the show that I was watching is that everyone seemed to like the, is it redesign, rebuild, reclaim for Seth Rollins? Like, I was amused that everyone seemed to like that, and I mean, I do too, but I mean, isn't it almost the same thing, a similar slogan to what Roman Reigns is doing? Like, they definitely have their similarities. So, it's... perception can be a little bit of a tricky thing.
Right, yeah.
Because, I guess I just think that because Rollins is thought of better than Reigns in general, you kind of give pass to something that's made up for them. But then, oh yeah, but and then that also kind of shows that he's more planned even, is like a top heel instead of New Day, who's just kind of thrown out there without a net. I mean, I appreciate it. Sometimes it's really bad, but I appreciate that they give them the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the New Day can absolutely stay a hot act without the tag team champions. I do believe that. Maybe have them, you know, do six man tags a lot, and then, you know, maybe while still as a group, have them do more singles-wise, with the other two at ringside. There's certainly things you can.
Yeah, and I guess that had to have been you and Jeremy, because I don't remember discussing that in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, yeah. I was pretty sure it was me and Jeremy.
So, yeah, I mean, that is an interesting thing, and I mean, letting Anderson and Gallows beat the champions, because they've done a good job of mentioning how long New Day has been champions at this juncture.
Oh yeah. It's going on a year. I mean, so it'll be 10 months.
They mentioned last SummerSlam on Raw there last night, and I think it said 280 some odd days. So, I mean, I always think that as soon as they start mentioning the days, it's either going to tick over a certain mark, or they are destined to lose soon.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I, I, So I said that. I certainly could see them losing. It might just be time, unless you want them to actually hit the 1 year mark, which yeah, that's still possible too. But I think that the strength for the sake of the club, I think it's good for them, especially in the early going here, to score some big wins. So I do see them playing the day.
Oh, and I don't know why one thing made me think of the other. I just noticed Alberto Del Rio's new tattoo on his ribs, and it made me think back to our original topic here, John Cena, for some reason or another. I was happy for him that he definitely came out in new attire this time around. Last time he slacked off, didn't come up with a new t-shirt design after he got injured.
Almost got them a little bit of trouble with the good folks over at Pabst Blue Ribbon, but they made some alterations to the shirt that have gotten them out of said hot water, and it's still a pretty decent shirt. I mean, nothing I'd be caught dead in, but for who Cena's targets, who they target Cena at, it's fine.
Yeah, I do have a tendency to like his shirts, like much like you, I would not ever purchase one. I do tend to like the designs on his shirts. He does seem to put in some type of effort into getting those put out there. And I guess I did not see the controversy about it being similar to PBR.
Yeah, there was definitely some similarities. I don't know if they could have went to court that it was ruled in PBR's favor, but maybe just didn't decide not to even take the risk or don't waste their time or any time or money in litigation and just
change it. Yeah. Yeah, there is nothing wrong with that. Oh, there we go. Because now I'm trying to take a look at it. But what else? I'm trying to think of the other big things on Raw. Oh, well, I guess involving New Day, to go back to them. Again, to say that they don't really have a net for them, this segment was certainly one of them. It to me was not one of their stronger
promos. Opening of the show, yeah, I gotta be honest, I fast forward through a lot of that. I really did. I kind of knew this, it wasn't gonna end well. And when you Shane McMahon trying to be hip and cool, it doesn't work, especially when you actually put him with an act that actually is cool, and you know, they didn't need to do that. It just exposed Shane McMahon, without a doubt.
Well, I don't know. Everyone seemed to be down for it, although that is the one thing. It does kind of point out that he's trying to be entirely too hip for his own good.
Yeah, although, damn the Vaude villains for costing us Stephanie's awkward white girl dancing. That's always good for a cheap laugh.
You know, she's one that I don't know, like, I always feel like there's some nefarious angle coming up with her since she's still on TV, but I like her character more now, this kind of weird, weird angry woman that seems okay with playing along sometimes now. But you know that the rage is still boiling deep down in there.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure trouble's coming, or maybe it's gonna the brand split leads to, you know, one on one show, one on the other show, or they both stay on Raw and a separate general manager is named for SmackDown. I'm not sure what the future holds there, because once again, I did like New Day pointing out, you know, it's kind of like a work shoot capacity of. They really have made no decisions about exactly what's going on here.
Yeah, that's why I hated the segment more than you know, the bad parts of the segment. Honestly, with New Day, it was almost like they were chewing up space and they didn't give you any more information at all, and they made it last for like 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, it really was a pointless segment, you know, exposing that they haven't made any decisions about this draft, no matter what roster list is floating around online, featuring a bunch of NXT people who just debuted last week that somehow are being somehow know Hey Jose and the two Australian girls are getting brought up to the main roster in a couple of months.
Why do you find this unbelievable, sir? Why do you find that unbelievable?
And they're gonna bring Funaki back as a backstage interviewer again after the, you know, that bring back that gag from 12 years ago.
Well, Edge and Christian are working on the network, so we can bring Funaki back.
Yeah, I guess so. But I just thought that whole thing is just complete crap to me.
Yeah, I mean, they just announced it, and the draft is 3 weeks away.
No, it's still five. They haven't announced.
Hold on, is it July?
They have. It has to be in July, but they have not named the date yet. They have not named. You know, so to talk about, you know, it being July would be the July 11th Raw, which is the week before that the brand is the new brand is supposed to go into effect. But you know, that hasn't been made official. They've made no official decision. I don't believe they have it mapped out yet.
Right. Yeah, I don't either. I mean, it just seems like they threw it out there. It's another one of those ones that I was just kind of laughing too during that segment, because I feel like they showed the very same. Because what was the last time that they said that they were getting all this buzz online? I felt like they used the same exact companies from the previous time that they were getting buzz. It's like, right, here's ESPN, here's Yahoo Sports, here's something. I'm like, oh, whatever, you're just naming the big partners you're with. Go fuck right off.
Right, I mean, that's exactly what it is. I mean, it's very transparent, and I don't think they even realize how transparent they are, that, you know, they're in bed with all these people, or all these people are in bed with them. So,
that was my problem. That was my problem with this segment, was just the fact that they didn't give out any new information, and it, because they probably haven't planned it out yet. They're like, oh, this is going to get some attention. And it got some attention, and then they stopped there.
Yeah, I said, if the goal is to bring back SmackDown, they're going to have either John Cena or Roman Reigns on that show. I do think that, you know, there's not a question. Have to have one of them on that show, or once again, of course, there's the thought that you have two championships, or the world champion floats back and forth, which I guess is possible too.
Well, and I guess that was the only thing that you could say, is that everything is on the table, as they put it.
Right.
So the floating champion, because they said unique rosters, which doesn't disqualify people floating between brands.
Yeah, certain champions, I guess, can float, because I don't think you want just, maybe they don't want no women on one show, or no tag teams on one show. But they not that long ago went through all the trouble to finally, you know, to finally combine the two championships into one and have one belt finally. I don't think you want to do that.
I would say that the WWE Championship is in safekeeping. The IC and US titles. Ever since the Cena push, those have suffered. I was going to say that leads to another intriguing segment on Raw. But did you have something else to add to that line of thought, though?
Those two champions, the Intercontinental United States champions, those will both have to go to separate brands and be treated as important on those separate brands. For this to work, that's got to be that's incredibly important.
They've done a better job as of late with the U.S. title as opposed to the IC title.
Oh, come on. I think the IC championship's doing pretty well.
Hold on. No, I'm mixing them up already. Because Rusev has the U.S. title.
Yeah. I mean, but again, Rusev can be the building blocks to the rebuilding that. Absolutely. But I like what they've got going with the Miz's Intercontinental title right now. I like it a lot.
Yeah, no, I had it backwards. The IC title has been good recently. It was the one that started out badly because whoever was the champion kept on being cursed because Daniel Bryan was out when they were supposed to get the big push, and then it kind of wrecked with the next person, and things just never recovered.
The Intercontinental has certainly... It's recovered, even though it's going to be on hiatus for the next 4 to 6 weeks, and they absolutely handled that in a brilliant fashion by having the Miz say that he will be that every morning when he on his movie set when he sits in front of the mirror holding the Intercontinental Championship, he will have successfully defended it one more day.
Yeah, I will admit to have not actually heard that one since I was watching it while we were recording here. But yeah, he's done a pretty decent job with his run with it here.
He's done a really good job. I mean, once again, The Miz is that character who can, again, lose 100 non-title matches, but you know always skate by. And when the title is on the line, he can just disappear for 4 to 6 weeks and come back and say, "Guess what? I'm still I'm still the Intercontinental Champion."
Yeah. And the fact that there is even a Marine 5.
I actually watched the Marine 3 and 4 over the weekend, and I can say that they're not that bad.
Well, I cannot say I've taken the time to watch either of them. So I will just continue to make fun of them.
Okey-dokey.
Yeah, I mean, good for Miz for bringing in. I'm sure that there's some type of incentive to do those, or else he wouldn't do those.
I'm sure there is. I'm sure he's being paid very handsomely for it. So good for him.
Well, and I don't think we need to go back to that, really, I guess. But, I'm trying to think of, It does help, at least, for Miz to brag right now, because there is Money in the Bank coming up at the next pay-per-view. So, I mean, that does kind of take the pressure off of the title holders, because your match is definitely not important.
Right, no. The Intercontinental Championship, obviously not going to be defended. Rusev is feuding with Titus O'Neil, who, you know, it's good to see him back, it's good to see him doing something, but he's not winning. And then it's looking like Charlotte's building up to being a tag match at Money in the Bank and not defending the championship. So, the other title holders definitely getting something of a reprieve from having to do anything all that important. And I guess whatever they were thinking about, I know said that they were going back and forth on doing a women's ladder match on the Money in the Bank show, but it's looking more and more like that they have decided not to do that.
I don't know if it's for the best. I'm not going to get their love-hate with having tag teams in the women's division.
Yeah. They should definitely consider a women's tag team team. I would endorse that idea.
It would keep 4 to 8 women occupied at all times.
Yes, yeah, it definitely would. I mean, now granted, this the whole Charlotte Dana Brooke partnership is obviously a. Obviously, they're high on Dana Brooke. They're very, very high on Dana Brooke. They want her in the mix. And when Emma went down with an injury, they decided they had to do something with her to keep her in. And actually, it's probably a better option for her, although her and Emma certainly had an already established chemistry. Actually, I got something passed through my Twitter feed that said that a year ago at an NXT TakeOver in May of 2015, Emma and Dana Brooke teamed up to take on Charlotte and Bayley, and I'm like, that act was together for an entire year? it's just blowing my mind. Dana Brooke's been around for an entire year, for over a year now? That kind of blew my mind. I was like, hey, this guy is obviously, yes, it's true.
I don't know why they would, why they'd lie about that particular factoid.
They didn't lie about it.
well, that's what I mean. Like, sometimes they exaggerate their numbers, let's say.
Yeah, no.
But there's no reason to kind of stretch out that friendship. And that probably is a little bit longer than I expected it to be.
Yeah, that's what I was meant. Yeah, I didn't think about them as together as a team in NXT. They did have plenty of time to establish a chemistry and an act together. Not 100% sure, what the relationship between how Charlotte and Dana Brooke is going to lead to, because Charlotte will always be more prominent of the two if holding the championship, and I guess for fans of women's wrestling, the last couple of weeks have been kind of disappointing because Dana Brooke has been doing the wrestling, and they do not want her exposed in longer matches at this point. So we're back to 2-minute women's matches on TV now. Although they're going to do Charlotte versus Becky on SmackDown, so I'm assuming that'll be a significantly longer match.
Yeah, it's another one of those things that it's just kind of, and I mean, that match was a bit of a disaster between her, between Dana Brooke and Natty.
Yeah, I mean, Dana Brooke, who's supposed to be this powerful fitness one, really, really struggled with Natalya on her back for her finish. I mean, it didn't look good at all.
I mean, Because it was just, like you said, like, it was an extremely short match.
Yeah, absolutely it was.
So, that's one where I don't get why you, she should lose like a lackey, I guess. I don't know why you have her win in that. Like, it was almost a fluky kind of a fashion, too.
Yeah.
Like, direct interference.
I don't know necessarily she needs to be losing this early. We've seen enough new people losing too early. I'm okay with it. Because, you know, we're building to a tag team match, and Natty finally is going to have backup in the form of Becky Lynch. You know, the two, you know, Becky and Natty, you know, the kind of the two goody two shoes girls together. I guess, you know, they work together, and I'm not against Charlotte and Dana Brooke. It's just, they need time to build a chemistry and act between the two of them. And I don't know if they're gonna get that, because once again, Charlotte needs to, go back to defending the women's championship at some.
Right. And I'm trying to think of what other major stories happened on Raw there. Since I was off gallivanting in Pittsburgh, it's easy to forget.
Maybe the worst, money segment in the, is in worst segment that's actually supposed to trying to build something important in the history of, I mean, not the history of, but very close to, just the Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, I don't even know what to describe it as, but Seth Rollins running to the ring, running back, running to the ring, running back. That was definitely one of the worst segments they've had in a long time. For it to involve the world champion and his number one contender, the two guys in the main event of the next pay-per-view is...
I almost didn't believe the write-up. that's kind of funny.
It was dumb, but in the end, I think Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins, sells itself. Their history dating back to the Shield, that Rollins never lost the championship. It sells itself, and now they're looking for ways to stretch it out without having much in the way of physicality. So I get that, man. The idea was faulty to begin with, and man, the execution was probably even worse. It just didn't work at all.
Yeah, it was just kind of a lame thing. Like, Rollins just needed to at least say something at some point. They obviously, again, that's one of those things that at least they're trying something, but it didn't go well.
Yeah, exactly right. They tried something, but it didn't go well. And in the end, I don't think it hurt the match. Because once again, the match does sell itself. It's a big match. It's a really big match that a lot of people have been waiting to see.
Right.
Through various circumstances, this is actually the first time they've had some matches on Raw, but I believe this is the first time Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins have faced one-on-one, particularly one-on-one for the title. Because injury issues various issues have always kept them apart.
Because I feel like Reigns had that hernia problem.
Yeah.
When they were ready to go at it the first time, so
yeah, exactly what it was. Yeah.
Their roads diverged, and then Rollins was gone the next time. He would have been a logical opponent.
Yeah, well, it was already announced that they were going to main event Survivor Series. And believe Roman was probably just going to win, so they weren't even so that weird road they went on between Survivor Series and WrestleMania with Roman losing and winning the champ, winning, losing, and then finally winning the championship again. Wouldn't have happened if Rollins was had made it to Survivor Series, actually, and things probably would have been better off.
Oh man. And I guess. Because I mean, I guess I don't have anything else for it, like that segment.
Yeah.
Like, there's, yeah, it just wasn't good.
it just wasn't good. I mean, it needed to be mentioned how not, I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention how bad it was, but at the end of I don't think it hurt the match, so.
Well, speaking of, hurting matches. That segue just went to hell in a handbasket. I had something in my head, and I just completely fucked it up.
Well, according to Vader, the match I believe you're about to speak of had no transitions. So it was a perfect transition to this.
There we go. Well,
according to a lot of veterans, don't believe that match. Talking about, I know this is going to be really, really hard to spell for anyone who hasn't seen this match, but it's definitely out there. Ricochet versus Will Ospreay, which I can't even begin to spell right. You'll find it. It's out there. It's definitely the big talked about match right now, and I'm sure a lot of the people listening have heard it, because God knows you'd have to be a huge wrestling fan or a friend and family of one of us to be listening to this show right now.
Yeah, the possibility of you having watched this, and yeah, if you haven't, I think even if you don't like it, it's worth watching.
Yeah, and I will say, I liked it a lot, but I also didn't find it all that state of the art and all that great myself. I don't feel like they did anything that was that out of the ordinary. I mean, I guess, you know, gymnastic, except, you know, I think the one, the thing that has a lot of people on the negative side, you know, they just did a lot of like gymnastics moves and into a face off with each other, into the crowd pop. But that to me was just a modern day way of feeling each other out. Like, when guys would do, like, you know, what's it called? Collar and elbow tie up, and then do a few arm drags and things like that. I mean, I think it was just a modern version of that, you know, the beginning of it.
Right.
I think is what really went.
Yeah, I can see that as a valid argument, and it was kind of funny that I believe William Regal kind of said that, you know, there's always somebody saying that they're ruining the business, and they're not ruining the business.
Yeah, ruining the business, come on. It's this business, the business has been exposed, not that I'm exposed. You know, either you liked it or you didn't. I liked it. I thought it was a really good match. I did not feel like it was great. I didn't really think that they did anything that was that state of the art either. It was a good, cruiserweight style, junior heavyweight style match.
Yeah, I guess I think that I'm pretty impressed by both of them. They seem to be able to put an extra. An extra flip onto something.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There were some fantastic spots there. Now don't get me wrong. Some of what they did, you know, they put in dev things. And yeah, they definitely. Maybe I'm talking myself into liking it more than I do. I did it when we started on this, but
because I mean, I guess I was going to agree with your assessment. I think it was a little too short. It's kind of in that gray area of, I think it's like 12 to 14 minutes or something like that. And I don't know why I feel like you need to crack at least the 15-minute barrier to be, like, a really great match. Like, I think you need to do it for a little longer time, I guess, in my book, to have an even...
To really get up there.
But
yeah, I think I was kind of... Just, go ahead.
I guess for the amount of time that they did, they packed in a lot.
Yeah, they packed in a lot. Everything looked good. Everything looked... Look at this, once again. A lot of times when you work a lot of head scissors or piranhas in the matches, you see a lot of light. Guys let go of the head too quick, and then the guy does, like, a delayed, flip. There wasn't any of that in this match. Everything was very crisp and well-essed.
Yeah, so... Like I said, good, not maybe, like, greatness, but I love watching stuff. And I guess I've always kind of been in favor of the high-flying stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that, once again, it's, and a lot of the negativity is from the old era. Just remember, it's just, in WCW, it was always said that, the guys like Hogan and Nash were doing everything they could to suppress, those type of guys, because eventually the cruiserweight style just becomes the style, and they can't keep up. And that largely has happened. I mean, even in WWE, guys like Roman Reigns and John Cena can keep up with guys like with Seth Rollins and AJ Styles just fine. In 1998, Hulk Hogan and Kevin Nash were not going to keep up with Dean Malenko and Eddie Guerrero. That just was not
going to happen. So. Yeah. There is definitely a difference in training these days. Because even as bulky as Cena is, he's still got some cardio in him.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So, it's good. Really like the match a lot. I mean, definitely want to. Again, I'm certainly at some point want to track down more of this what they call the Super J Cup tournament in Japan. Obviously, coming up next month, WWE will be doing essentially their own version of it, and I'm really, really excited about that. The Global Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if either of these guys, because it was Well, and did we say Ricochet and Will Ospreay?
Ricochet and Will Ospreay.
Because I feel like we mentioned Will Ospreay, but we didn't. Because I've seen Ricochet's name around.
Ricochet has definitely got a lot going for him. He's Prince Puma on Lucha Underground. He's got a lot going for him. He's becoming he's tearing it up in PWG for a long time. Ball for Gabe Sapolsky. Now he's a New Japan regular. I don't remember. Is Ospreay staying with Japan, or is he in the Cruiserweight class? Let me check that real quick.
It would be a shame if neither of them are in it, because I'd be pretty geeked about that. But I can understand if they're not also. I would think that the New Japan talent would probably not be allowed to do something like that. Even if it's on a part-time kind of basis.
No. Neither of these two are earnings. Zack Sabre Jr., that's the other European, English cruiserweight who's gotten a lot of hype on the... a lot of circles. He's the one who's going to be in the Cruiserweight Classic series. Cruiserweight Classic is now it's called, not the Cruiserweight series. But yeah, once again, WWE, once again, not afraid to the new WWE or the WWE that Triple H has a lot of say in what happens, and not afraid to put on something different, and hopefully we'll see. Seeing a lot of this action coming up over the next few months in WWE. Once again, the WWE Network, you know, the content monster that needs to be fed.
Well, and honestly, if they do really, to kind of get back to the topic that has no information, an actual brand extension, as they're calling it, is about as good a solution as possible. I mean, they still do. Like, I remember looking through their roster, and again, like, they weren't big names, but they were still names that could be used more on TV. Without calling up anyone from NXT, even, and that would be one way to fill that content monster, is to, like, if you have two different views of it, and I mean, maybe they're realizing it just from all the dueling chants that are happening, that maybe actually experimenting with seeing what works in different ways different shows works. Cause, I mean, I guess they already know that there's at least some size of an audience for an NXT-type experience already.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, basically what they're going to be doing is the Cruiserweight Classic show is going to be on WWE the live stream of the WWE Network on right after NXT. So you go, once again, starting in July, there's 3 nights a week of there's going to be 7 hours of wrestling over the course of 3 nights through the summer. Of course, you can watch the NXT and the Cruiserweight Classic at any time on release. And down, but I guess I know we're getting a little bit in-house notes here, but it's just going right out of my head. I mean, I guess for our future recording starting in July, we probably should just watch SmackDown and start recording at 10 o'clock. I guess.
I mean, it really would have to come down to that, like, but I'm not sure, like, it'll be the same situation where I probably wouldn't be able to get home and be able to watch that. That's half the reason why I start Raw late anyway, too. Yeah. I mean, part of it is genuinely disliking commercials and trying to get through all of them without having to watch a single one, right, or at least very few. If I catch up at 10:30, I'm okay with life.
Understood.
So, yeah, I guess that always, well, and maybe I'd be behind. You know, of all stupid things, the writing does slow you up a little bit. Like, there are times where I rewind a little bit more than I would if I was just watching the show. Like today, actually. I probably blew through 3 hours of Raw much more quickly. Like, I always listen for the crowd reaction, and as bad as the announce team is, I can never get them off of my mind. Like, that's always a train wreck that I appreciate.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
And I feel like they at least give some type of, they try to give some type of overview of the match. But I did not pay attention to that today. I probably killed Raw in a good half an hour, less than I normally do.
Oh, that's good.
Because there is a lot of fluff in that show.
Yeah, there definitely is, and yeah, that's, you know, and like I guess this could be a good segue now. With Raw, with having split crew, and Raw still being 3 hours, I mean, does that mean more fluff, or does it mean having a more better structured show that doesn't have that limits the fluff?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting call. Again, like, it just doesn't seem like they have anything planned.
Right, yeah.
It could be all of the above. It could be none of the above.
Right, yeah. We know so little about what's going to happen. There's a lot of speculation, you know, rumors that there's a, you know, rumors and everything else, but in the end, it's a wait and see proposition. It's depending on, you know, who ends up where, how many people from NXT get brought up. You know, and yeah. So you could, I mean, you could certainly. I mean, they're gonna have to fill this time.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll make the right decisions too. In order to make this work. There is no negative to, you know, only seeing everyone except for maybe a few of the champions once a week. There is no negative to that.
I honestly, and to go back to a competitor, I was completely pumped about the UFC fights that were on this weekend, because it was one of those kind of sneaky good cards, or at least the top three matches were sneaky good. Like, they weren't any well-known, like, big-time fighters, but they were kind of all up-and-comers, or at least kind of exciting fighters in their own way. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like, they weren't the bigger names, but, I mean, that's what I was looking forward to. So, I mean, they can create that type of an atmosphere if they choose.
Yeah, they absolutely can. And then, sure, there's certainly people. Certainly Wade Keller on last week's Steve Austin show Unleashed. Definitely exhibited the opinion that SmackDown should be the wrestling show and Raw be the entertainment show. But I didn't agree with that. I feel like that's what they did the first time around with the brand split, and that's part of the reason. Well, there's two reasons. There was three reasons why the brand split didn't. Number one, the original idea of having Stone Cold anchor one show and The Rock anchor the other got torpedoed really, really, really quickly. Number two, number two, that they differentiated the brands too much. You know, there wasn't enough good wrestling on Raw, and there wasn't enough, you know, good talking or even skits on SmackDown, I don't think. And then what eventually obviously totally killed it, yes. When they just started, said screw it, and just started mixing them up, mixing the rosters all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's another one of those ones where they've, because I feel like when they originally did it, they actually did stick to the split for at least a little while.
Yeah, they absolutely did. They stuck to the split pretty good. I don't remember them doing interpromotional matches until, you know, for at least after a couple of years, but then it became a crutch. Then doing interpromotional matches became a regular crutch.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they stick with it, and they can still do the interpromotional thing, but, I mean, they do need to make it more of a rare thing, or just have it happen solely on pay-per-views.
Yeah, solely on the big pay. I mean, obviously, everyone has to cross paths in the Royal Rumble. That's obvious. And you know, maybe at WrestleMania, do a couple. I don't know if you would maybe necessarily do it this year or not, because it will still be so new. But I think that you want each show to be balanced. It is, I guess, the point I was making.
And if
SmackDown's ratings are a priority, you want big names on it, and you shouldn't, unlike what Wade Keller said, super serve niches. That's what the indies are for, you know. and those shows draw, you know, 500 to 1,000 people. You know, what you need to, you know, it's the Mick Foley and his autobiography. They're talking about the three ring circus philosophy. If you don't like this, you'll like this. So you know, mixing up the wrestling, the entertainment, the talking. The best wrestlers, the best talkers. You know.
Yeah, I don't think that they'll have a problem with that right now. Yeah. Like, I think at that time, maybe they had that problem because there were more unentertaining people, but I think most people are kind of pretty passable on the mic these days.
I think, yeah, definitely think most people are pretty passable, you know, or if not, you know, very good on the microphone. So, yeah, I don't think that they'll have that problem this time. I think that they'll have a... Their roster, you've got Seth Rollins back, you've got John Cena back, and then Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt aren't too far behind. Brock Lesnar will be back for the summer, so again, I think that things will certainly. And of course, they've got so much of the new talent that they've brought in. I mean, of course, of all the new talent brought in 2016, AJ Styles, of course, has been the biggest difference maker. And he will continue, and will continue to be, because he's going to be he's probably going to get a tremendous opportunity to co-anchor one of the brands once all is said and done.
Okie dokie. Well, we have co-anchored this show to an end, I think.
I think we've covered everything.
So, yeah, I did not drink a beer because I probably had more than enough yesterday. Not in Console Energy Center necessarily, but prior to arriving in said venue, I had plenty of beer. And hopefully, I get Ken on the hook tomorrow to... talk about the old experience for the Penguins in the Stanley Cup Final.
Excellent. Well, we certainly look forward to that, because Lord knows I wouldn't know what questions to ask.
he will probably just make fun of me. He does not know hockey all that well. He's kind of funny that way. He is a Steelers fan, and after that, it stops. Like, he is not a baseball fan, he is not a basketball fan, not a hockey fan. Just, yeah. Like, he starts and ends with the Steelers, and then that's all. Yeah, he'll probably just be needling me the whole time, which I fully expect.
Nice. Well, we'll look forward to that. Also, look forward to a new We Watch Stuff with Jeremy and Shiki. which it looks like will, as a rarity, you know, land on the same day as this episode, this new episode of Stunt Granny, so you'll have double the audio to listen to.
And before we honestly ramble anymore, I'm just gonna say that one at Granny Maze just told me, "Oh my God, what am I watching on TNA?"
Is it Matt Hardy's weird hairdo?
I was trying to finish Ring of Honor here, but
yeah, I have not watched that one at all, yeah, so I need to bring that one up.
That one is at least new enough that I'm not angry that they aired it. Because it was at War of the Worlds, so it was only a month ago. That is not as infuriating as what they've done for the last, last month in between.
If I ever see Kevin Kelly standing in front of a locker again, or if I anytime soon, if I see Kevin Kelly standing in front of a locker, I'm just gonna delete it. Press stop and delete it.
Okie doke. Well then, let's this thing, it seems, could keep on going like a zombie. So I'm gonna try to. Put a bullet in its head here. So at DeFrango11, at Chris Calamita, for the brand at Stunt Granny, everybody have a good night.
Later.